are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
So I kind of wish I had a camera during the children's message. It was fun to look out and see most of the congregation going like this, and a couple of you doing a little spinning around things while we were gone. Good for you. Good job. So I want to pretend a little bit here today and pretend that we're going to go on a road trip, that we're going to take a journey, that we're going to go somewhere fun together. And let's pretend that we're going to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right? So how are we going to get there? Maybe we get our binoculars out and try to figure out where to go and who's up in the balcony and what's going on and where we might want to make our next steps. Maybe we'd get a compass out because we know it's kind of north and we want to head in that direction. Maybe a compass would help us. Maybe we'd get our phones out and pull up a map on that and listen to what the phone tells us to do. Or maybe we'd get one of these maps out and look at the state of Wisconsin, hold it the right way, and figure out going from Madison to Green Bay is kind of going in that direction. So a lot of possibilities. And we start our journey, let's pretend. Let's just pretend that we get going, but there are ways that we might get distracted on the journey. Like if we're driving up the highway and we say, hey, I've never been to Fond du Lac, let's go, there's a lighthouse there, let's go check that out. And we go there and then we kind of forget that we're going to Green Bay and we just end up staying in Fond du Lac. We get kind of distracted on the journey. Maybe we stop and get some food to eat and the food's really good and then we want to take a nap or something and relax and we don't make it. Or maybe on the journey we have some car trouble or there's a fender bender or there's some construction that makes it impossible for us to continue the trip. Or maybe we start the journey and we just get tired and we just say, I just don't want to go. Turn around, go home, I'm done. Or maybe there's a global pandemic and we realize that we shouldn't be going anywhere, or we feel a little scared and we don't want to go anywhere. There are a lot of ways on a journey like this that we could get distracted, diverted, detoured, delayed. And sometimes that happens as well with the journey of faith, with the journey that we take as Christians. We get distracted, we get delayed, we get diverted, we get detoured. We get lost. It happens. The past year and a half has been crazy and horrible and unlike any time that any of us have experienced in our lives. And it's been a very challenging time. Obviously, with the virus and the death and the health issues, with economic issues from the lockdowns and other challenges, with racial tension, with environmental chaos continuing. All these things just make a burden on us, and the thought of going on a journey in a literal or spiritual sense, just seems harder and harder. During the past 18 months, some of us, many of us, probably all of us, at one point or another, have gotten a little bit off track, a little bit lost, maybe a lot lost. During the past 18 months, many of us, maybe all of us, have gotten weary and tired and just feel exhausted and aren't sure where we're going or if we even want to go anywhere. During the last 18 months, many of us, maybe all of us at some point, have kind of wondered, where's God in all of this? What's going on? Well, given that we're all probably wrestling with these things and all asking questions like this, as summer winds down and as we move into the fall, new school year, it seems like it's an opportune time for us to be thinking anew about getting back on track, about a fresh start, about some new steps on the journey, or at very least just a little bit of progress, or maybe just finding other people and taking a couple steps in the right direction.
As Christians, getting back on track means kind of reclaiming our identity and finding ways to remember and to reaffirm that we are all beloved children of God. To remember that we're all called and claimed by Jesus to follow on the journey as disciples, as followers, as people called to live with a sense of purpose and meaning. So over the next several weeks, we're going to take a walk together. We're going to take a journey together. We're going to go forward and see what happens. We're beginning this new series called Getting Back on Track, Together on the Journey. And we're going to do our best to get back on track and to encourage one another on the way, because it's hard to make a journey by yourself. You need somebody to read the map or hold the binoculars or figure out how to work a compass. Does anybody know how to work a compass? I don't. We need each other on this journey. And the Christian life is all about the journey. We see it running through the Bible. In the first book of the Bible, 12th chapter, God calls out to Abraham and Sarah, calling them to go on a journey of faith, a journey with a purpose. The text says, God spoke to Abram, go from your country and your kindred to the land I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you so that you will be a blessing. Right? I'll bless you so you can be a blessing. You'll be blessed for a purpose. I'll bless those who bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The book of Psalms is filled with prayers, and a lot of them are about the journey. Teach me your way, O God, that I may walk in your truth. What a great prayer to say every day. Teach me your way, O God, that I may walk in your truth. Jesus came to this world and called ordinary people to repent. That was one of the first things he said, and that's kind of a churchy word, but repent really means to turn around, to change direction, to change your mind, to get going in the right direction, and then to live with a sense of purpose. I mean, look what Jesus said. He said, the time is filled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news. Then he saw some fishermen, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. Change your direction, get back on track, and I'll give you new purpose, new mission, new clarity, new intention in life. Then in the book of Romans, Paul writes about baptism and new life. We read this sometimes at baptism. Sometimes we read this at funerals, but it's really appropriate for the Christian journey. These wonderful words from Romans chapter 6. Paul writes, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The Bible calls us to the journey of faith. The Bible invites us to take one step at a time going forward. The Bible invites us together to make that journey. And we get that here at Covenant, right? Our mission statement begins, we are disciples journeying in covenant. And our newsletter is called The Caravan. I mean, what's a caravan if it's not a group of people going on a trip together, you know, jumping the wagons and keep everything safe and try to keep going and watch out for everybody. We're in this together, right? So to help us on this journey right here, right now, in the months of September and October, we don't really need the binoculars or the compass or even the map, but we do need God. And we need to find ways to welcome God's word, God's presence, God's love into our lives, because we're pretty good at kind of blocking out or forgetting God. So toward that end, we're starting this series and using this book called The Walk by Adam Hamilton, where he talks about five essential practices of the Christian life. And the book describes these practices, and he offers several very concrete ways to do them. He's kind of a math guy, and there's five practices in here, and apparently he likes the number five. Because in the prayer chapter, he encourages people to pray five times a day. Short, simple prayers. In the morning, you wake up, thank you, God, for today. Teach me, you know, help me to follow your way, Psalm 86. Maybe a word of thanks at each of the three meals of the day, and then a prayer at the end of the day. Thank you, God, for the gift of this day. Five prayers. He also encourages people to spend 5 minutes a day reading the Bible or doing some sort of holy reading. 5 minutes. He encourages people to think about doing five acts of kindness in a month. Maybe to plan those out and write them down and share them with one another. So there's a lot of that in this book. Kind of invites you to be simple. And I know we like to count things. I count things. We count our calories. We count our steps. We count the ups and downs of the stock market. We count how many touchdowns the Badgers should have scored yesterday, but they fumbled, or interceptions, all that. And we like to count things. He likes to count things. Maybe we can use this counting to help us on a journey of faith without getting legalistic about it, without keeping score, but just a gentle way of helping us to count our steps as we go forward. So it's a great book, and the session has read this, most of it or all of it. The leaders of this church, they think it's great. And the good news is, like I've said, you can get a copy of this book for free thanks to the Jim and Pauline Sparks Adult Education Fund. We bought 100 of them. They were almost gone, so we ordered 50 more this week, and we're encouraging anybody who wants one to get it. And the best thing is, look how big this book is. That's not very big. And if you could see the print up here, the print's pretty big. So it's not going to take you forever to read this book. He's a great writer, good illustration, simple, clear, and that's wonderful. So we encourage you to read the book if you can. And if you can, talk about it with someone, right? Maybe a spouse or a family member. We also encourage you to engage with the sermons. There'll be different people preaching on these topics over the next several weeks, myself and Jeff and Nancy, actually. To engage with those sermons, you can come to worship in person. You can watch us on our live stream video. You can watch that video anytime you want after 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. You who do podcasts, you can subscribe to the church podcasts and listen to the sermon as you walk around the neighborhood. You can read a PDF of the sermon, the text of the sermon. If you know what a PDF is, you can just read the manuscripts of the sermon online. So lots of ways to engage with the sermons over the next several weeks. We hope you'll do that. And like we've said already, we hope you'll consider joining a small group. Great ways to get connected with people and learn and grow together. In the introduction to the book, Adam Hamilton talks about a time several years ago when he went on a hike with his adult daughter. And he says after about 10 minutes, he had to stop. He was huffing and puffing, and he couldn't keep up. He was out of shape. At his annual physical, he realized how much weight he had gained over the past several years and how some of his numbers weren't good. His cholesterol was up and he wasn't in good shape. So he talked to his doctor, talked to his wife. His wife said something about a 7-minute workout. So he's like, 7 minutes? I can do that. So he started with the 7-minute workout and then bumped that up to 14 and then kept working out a little bit more. And after a year or so, he lost a decent amount of weight. His cholesterol was back in good shape, and he was feeling better about things. And he actually writes in the book that he went on a walk with his 29-year-old daughter, and he had to slow down because he was in such good shape. The point of that being is that it takes time. You know, if you want to lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever, you can't do that in one night, one day. It takes time. If we've gotten off track, if we've gotten a little bit lost, if we've gotten to a place of struggle, it might take us a while to get back on track. So let me encourage you to think about taking one little step at a time. With the help of this book, with the help of other people in this church, one little step at a time on the journey, trying to get going in the right direction. And as we take these steps, please be kind and gentle with yourselves, and please be kind and gentle with the people in your lives. A lot of us are hurting and struggling right now, and we might not be at our best. So if we ever needed grace and mercy and forgiveness, now is a good time for that. So I really want to encourage you to join in this process, to make a commitment to read or see or hear or listen to the sermons, to read the book, and to at least consider getting involved in a small group. I know many people are super busy. I don't like laying on the guilt for these invitations, for these commitments, but this is important. I really think this is life-giving stuff for for us individually and for us as a congregation in this crazy time, we need to be really clear about who we are and where we're going. And there are people around us in this church and out in the world who might need us to have a little bit firmer foundation in our lives so they can lean on us and maybe we can help them take a step or two on the journey. Parker Palmer knows the importance of taking your time for important things, of not rushing through things. And he wrote in one of his books, this quote's in your bulletin as well, he said, "When I'm asked for the elevator speech that sums up my work, I always respond, I always take the stairs, so I don't have an elevator speech. If you'd like to walk with me a while, I'd love to talk. I don't know of a life worth living or work worth being done that can be reduced to a soundbite." Friends, God invites us on the journey. So let's take a walk. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for sending Jesus into the world to call us, to turn us around, to get us back on track. Give us the courage and the grace to take a step or two in the right direction and do our best to encourage and support others on the way. Amen.